thinking of the rapture in that blessed home on high. When redeemed, oh, again redeemed, how we'll sing that heavenly anthem in that city in the sky. When the redeemed are gathering in, now when the redeemed are gathering in, watch like snow at the cross in. Oh, how we will shout, how we'll sing, now when the redeemed are gathering in. We will sing redemption story with our voices loud and long. When the redeemed are gathering in, then the angels have to listen, for they cannot sing this song. When the redeemed are gathering in, now when the redeemed are gathering in, washed like snow and free from sin. Oh, how we're gonna shout and how we'll sing, now when the redeemed are gathering in. The Savior will give orders to prepare the banquet for when the redeemed are gathering in. And we'll hear his invitation, come ye blessed of the Lord, when the redeemed are gathering in.
Well, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Hello, everyone. I'm Chaplain John McTernan. And this is our Sunday night show, End Time Prophecy, really. It's the end times is present times. Now I guess we could say without being facetious, it's here it is. It's amazing how things are so rapidly changing. It's like avalanche. But anyways, we know the word. We know how things are going to turn out. And it's such a wonderful thing to believe the truth in the word, have the right doctrine, God's doctrine as it's in the Bible. And we know where it's heading and how it's going to end. So with that, let's see how There he is. Dave Hauser. Hello, Dave.
Well, shalom, John. Shalom and Maranatha.
Yeah, shalom and Maranatha to you also.
So you thought I was a pastor?
Not really. I don't know why. It just came out. I guess I never really think of you as a pastor.
Well, John, you've called me a WRF. Can you explain what a WRF is?
Wild-eyed religious fanatic.
Well, I'm not really wild-eyed, but I'm not really a fanatic. Okay.
The way you got nicknamed the WRF was my wife was watching something on, like, I think it was the 700 Club years and years and years ago. And there was some guy that when he came to the Lord, they referred to him as a wild-eyed religious fanatic. But he was kind of like famous, you know. And while she heard that, the phone rang, and she picked it up, and it was you. And you went, is John there? Is John there? I got to talk to him right away. Something big had happened. Is John there? I got to talk to him right away. So she went and got me and said, the WRF's on the phone for you. The WRF wants to talk to you. I said, WRF, who's that? She goes, Dave Hauser. He's a WRF. So she had just heard on TV about a WRF, then you called up like wild-eyed there. And so that's how you got nicknamed the WRF.
Well, that's exciting, John. That's good. Okay. Now I got it. Okay.
It took you all these years to get that?
Well, I am very enthusiastic, John.
Yes.
Anybody that I bump into I establish a very tight relationship within about 2 minutes with them if I've never met them, and then I give them my testimony. 2 minutes later. All right, so should we read 1 Corinthians?
Yeah, hang on. I gotta get over there to it. All right, Dave, 1 Corinthians 15:51.
Sure. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Amen, Dave. Amen. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And you've labored for the Lord for a long time now, right?
Oh, over 45 years, John.
Remember what I would ask you, Dave, what did you do on December 12th, 1999? And for some reason, you couldn't remember things like that.
Well, the Lord remembers and he rewards us.
Right, exactly. Exactly. For all of us. So I want to go into the section of scriptures that I read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and Dave read from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is the heart of the rapture doctrine. Now, folks, there's huge battles going on now against the rapture. Now, it's been going on for quite a while, but it's really intensifying. And, some people just absolutely hate the idea of the rapture, and they get personal about it. But the thing is, it wasn't invented in 1850 by some woman that was in a trance in England. And when she came out of the trance, she was spouting the rapture doctrine. Have you heard that, Dave?
Yes, John. And like I said, it's very biblical and it's been there since day one.
Yes, because it's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, which I read. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which Dave read. And there are other concepts of it in verses in areas of the scriptures. And it wasn't invented, folks. It's been in the Bible. It's like saying Martin Luther invented Romans 1, what is that, 16, 17, the just shall live by faith. He didn't invent it. It was there. The truth had been suppressed, and he was bringing it out. So, Dave, when we look at scriptures, I see two comings of Christ. His second coming is in two phases. Because one phase, he comes for us, and we meet him in the air, correct?
Exactly.
And the second phase, his feet shall stand that day on the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, correct?
Yeah, absolutely, sure.
And the Mount of Olives happens to be in Jerusalem. So the second coming of Jesus Christ, as you would think, his bodily coming to earth, that is his second coming. However, where he meets the believers in the air, that's the church. So he's coming to a restored Israel with Jerusalem as the capital. But that's not where he comes for us, Dave. He meets us in the air. He calls. He calls for us. And the dead in Christ shall be raised first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Then it says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. So, Dave, you know, it's pretty simple. I mean, I don't think you need a degree, a PhD in theology to figure it out.
Two separate events.
And we go to heaven, and we're at the marriage supper of the Lamb. and we return with him. Zechariah 14, verse 5, after the Lord returns and he's on the Mount of Olives, it says, and the Lord thy God shall come and all the saints with him. He's not coming by himself. He's coming with the armies of heaven, as the apostle, not the apostle, the prophet Daniel says. And John says, now the apostle John says, he's coming with the armies of heaven. And that is church. So, but Dave, it's some people are absolutely, they loathe the rapture, Dave. They loathe it. And the Bible says, looking for that blessed hope. In fact, let me show it to you right now. Titus, well, I'm going to read the whole thing. Titus 2, starting at verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 13 is the rapture, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a special people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. So there we are, Dave. We've got the blessed hope, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So as we are, the hour we're living in, well, we should be glued on there, focused, looking for the blessed hope, looking for that blessed hope. Okay, Dave. Let's take a look at what transpired here during the week. And there's nothing, what would be the word? I'm going to say heavy right now above the radar of Israel. Things are going on in the Middle East. I think we're all waiting, Dave, for that final, what would be the word, final, the end of the warning to Iran. I think that's really, we're on kind of hold now until that, Dave.
Yeah, that's going to be probably the biggest event that's going to be happening relatively soon. The Houthis are still shooting missiles into Israel. Israel's attacking the Houthis. Israel made it very clear that when the Houthis shoot a missile at Israel, it's as if Iran shot the missile to Israel. Because Israel understands that the Houthis are an Iranian proxy. They're using Iranian missiles. So it could escalate anytime soon, John. Supposedly, because I knew this was going to happen, the Iranians are excellent about kicking the can down the road. They're still kicking the can down the road. The U.S. administration is still talking to them. There's still threats going back and forth. But it looks like Israel may have to act alone.
Well, we'll see, Dave. I don't think Israel can take out Iran. I mean, they can wreak havoc in Iran, but I don't think they can take out. Maybe they can damage it, delay it for a while, Dave, you know?
Yeah.
Because the Iranians have spent decades building this stuff deep in mountains. So it'll take the big bombs, those 30,000 pound bombs that burrow down into those mountains and destroy the nuclear program. Well, you know, who knows, Dave? It might all be changed next Sunday.
It could be, sure. You never know.
All right. Dave, I've got some they're about the Middle East and all. However, they're kind of different. And the first one, and I discussed this before the show with you, here's the article. Mossad seizes 2,500 document Syrian files on executed spy Eli Cohen. Now that happened in 1965. I happen to remember that. It got kind of world attention. Do you remember it, Dave? You were a little too young, weren't you?
Well, I was 12 years old, John. Yes, no, 10 years old. Sorry, 10 years old.
Right. Okay. So the reason I want to share this, well, here's what I wrote about it. I remember when this happened and was fascinated by what happened. He died protecting Jewish children from a Syrian terrorist attack in Israel. So this man was an incredible spy, and the Mossad had set him up in Argentina as and I don't know how you can do this, but they did it. They set him up as a businessman, a Syrian businessman in Argentina. And he's a Jew. They set him up as a Muslim Syrian in Argentina, businessman. And he was showing a lot of money that his business was really going great and all. So he decided that this is all spy stuff. He decided he was going to move back to Syria. Now, it's easy. Dave, how can you be set up like a ghost? You know, you lived in Syria, no one would know you and all. So the Mossad did this, and how they did it, I don't know, but they did it. So he went back to Syria, and he got into politics, and he began to rise up in politics with a lot of money, and he was like the money there greased the way for him. He wasn't a politician. Almost he was, though. But he had a lot of money, and that attracted the politicians, just like here. So he pretended to be a real zealot, Syrian zealot, and he hated Israel. He hated the Jews. He asked to be taken to the Golan Heights, and they took him there. And he was looking down into Israel, and he was cursing the Zionists and all. And then there was an attempted assassination of Assad, the ruler. And he sided with Assad, and Assad won. And he saw how this guy stood with him when others didn't. So he brought him into like his cabinet. And he was on his way to be the second most powerful man in Syria, and he was an Israeli spy. Doesn't that sound good, Dave?
That's amazing, John, when you think about it.
Yeah.
For him to be right there, this way he could pass information right to Israel.
So what he did was he told the Syrians that he was going on a business trip. So he'd fly to, I don't know where, but he'd end up in Israel. So they made a facsimile, if that's the right word, of the Golan Heights. And he had traveled all the Golan Heights, and he knew where all the military positions were. So he had like a photographic memory, and he told them that this is where all their bunkers are here, the ammunition bunkers, the artillery are hidden here. So when the 67-day war broke out, the Israelis knew every place in the Golan Heights to attack. And they knocked them out in like 1 hour. The entire Syrian encampment on the Golan Heights was destroyed. And that all goes back to Eli Cohen. So he also would get knowledge of Syrian terrorist attacks in Israel. And he had a sophisticated radio set up that he could notify Israel. So the Syrians had just gotten some top spy equipment from the Russians, and they were able to identify him when he was broadcasting this one night back to Israel. Because there was a terrorist attack planned on a kibbutz in Israel. And hang on here for a second. So what happened was he notified them because there's a lot of children in this kibbutz. So they did thwart, the Israelis did thwart the attack, and the Syrians were able to identify that it was him. So they arrested him as a spy, and eventually he was hung. He was hung. Now, the Israelis would work any deal out possible with the Syrians to let him go. They pay him $1 billion, whatever it would be, to let him go, and they wouldn't. So they executed him and hid his body. So the Israelis want to get his body and bring it back to bury it in Israel. So he was a fantastic spy. I mean, and so when they arrested him, there was a movie made about him. It's called Our Man in Damascus. Well, and that was many, many, many years ago. I watched that, Our Man in Damascus. But here he was. He was on his way to be number two man in Syria, and he was an Israeli spy. So what do you think of that?
Pretty amazing, John. Amazing, John. Amazing. Well, the Lord is good. You know, he had somebody in there that could help Israel.
Yeah. Yeah, and he was feeding them all the top information about Syria. But he identified every key location in the Golan Heights. So when the war started, the Israeli Air Force knew in the first hour of the war, they took out literally the entire Syrian military position in the Golan Heights. In 1 hour, it was all gone. So I wanted to give everybody the background on that. Eli Cohen, there's a movie, I'm sure it's probably online there. Our Man in Damascus, I think it was called. Any final comment about that, Dan?
Yeah, John. Just like I said, I didn't know that. I've heard of him. I knew he was a spy. I knew he was executed, but I didn't know the background. Very amazing. I didn't realize he was that connected into the Syrian government.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Interesting that he was in Argentina and then moved to Syria.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Quite a plan.
But how do you set someone up in Argentina and say you're a Syrian? I know there's people that have moved there and all, but they set them up, and I don't know how they did it, the Mossad. So, but anyways, I thought everybody would be interested in that. Now, the second thing I wanted to talk about, which is really interesting, and this is going to require, I think, a lot of prayer. Let me read this headline. How the rejection of Bible prophecy paved the way for Paula White's disturbing rise to power. And she's like a religious advisor to President Trump. Now, I don't know anything about her. I do now. I know some people said they didn't like her. I would hear people say that. But here's what I wrote about this, and then I'll tell you why she is very dangerous. I know very little about White, but I just found out that she believes in dominion theology. This means she believes the church will conquer the world before the second coming of Jesus Christ. Therefore, there is no prophetic meaning of the rebirth of Israel. She's real dangerous because she is so close to the president. This is serious. So now, at that, in case you're not aware of what's called dominion theology, Dominion theology, and I have no idea. I think they mix the millennial reign up with pre-tribulation, because she believes that the church is going to rise up and conquer the whole world. And when the world is conquered, Jesus will return, and they'll basically turn the world over to him. Now, Dave, that is a cult. That's a cult belief. It's bizarre. Are you familiar with Dominion theology, Dave?
Yes, John. There's two major churches, at least that I know of, on the island that have that particular theological view.
Is one due north of you up off Deer Park Avenue?
Yes. Yep. And the other one is, they have a couple of different branches on the island. And one of them, believe it or not, I brought some copies of The Last Trumpet, some of our tracks, and I put them in the church, put them in their pastor's offices, put them on cars in the parking lots. So I did my best to try to change their theology at both locations. And I know the pastors, and I've talked to them about it. Let's put it this way. I don't want to call them stupid because they're very smart, okay? They're a lot smarter than me, but they have to be theologically lobotomized to ignore the fact that Israel's in the land. Jesus ascended from the Mount of Olives. The angel said he's going to come back the same way. Zechariah, like we talked about in the beginning, his feet will stand upon the Mount of Olives. Armageddon, you know, what are you talking about?
Right,
the whole Bible
exactly.
has to do with the Jews.
Right.
He that scattered Israel
right.
will gather him.
Right.
Ezekiel 37, the rebirth
yes.
of Israel.
Yes.
I mean, it. I'll be very blunt. It really freaks me out, okay? To say it's a cult is being kind, John. It's satanic.
Well, this is what Paula White believes.
Which is very bad.
Yeah. All right, so here's some of the things, just a few of the things now about dominion theology. Jerusalem and the land of Israel no longer belong exclusively to the descendants of Jacob via God's unconditional covenants with his people. Yeah, the church has replaced that. So, Dave, see, this is what's mind-boggling in this. The Jews are back in the land. It's called Israel. They speak Hebrew. They have shekels for money. Jerusalem's the capital. There's a war going on there right now, and it's so far the war is involving Yemen, Lebanon, Syria, a little bit of Iraq. I think it's going to get bigger. Jordan, not yet. And, of course, Gaza and Iran, ancient Persia. Nothing will bring them out of this dominion theology. It's like a cult, seriously. It's shocking that, I mean, all right, you're going to argue this 100 years ago. Oh, all right, okay. Not now. Not now, Dave. It's like insulting to God, really. It's an insult. All right, number two, the Jewish people don't have a place in God's prophetic program for the future. Oh, my goodness. They've got the millennial reign coming with the Lord. The world is not racing towards the seven-year tribulation judgments as described in Revelation chapters 6 through 18, but it is rather on a course leading to the time of worldwide prosperity, peace, and security administered by the church. Any comments, Dave?
Like I said, John, and like you said, it's a cult. You have to be, I'll be very diplomatic, brain dead reading the Bible and looking at the current day events and not connecting God's plan for Israel. One of the things when I talk to people about my testimony, I explain that you're going to see the entire planet ganging up in Israel. So the whole world knows the Jews are in Israel. They hate the Jews, free Palestine. They know about it, but the people supposedly that read the Bible don't understand. They don't see what's going on. Jerusalem and Judea will be a burdensome stone. Judea is the West Bank. The whole planet's ganging up on Israel over the West Bank and Jerusalem, the United Nations, et cetera, et cetera. So the whole world sees it, but they can't make the connection. It's pathetic, John. Pathetic,
yeah, this is real serious, know? Dave. This isn't like, see, the rapture has to do about the timing of Christ's coming. So whatever reason, some people, they just can't stand the idea of the what we call premillennial rapture. However, you know, we all believe in the rapture. This here is bizarre. It is like something that Jehovah's Witnesses would sprout. It is really bizarre for this. And anyways, I've decided, Dave, after being aware of this, that we need to keep the president in prayer, that he will not be led down Piper's path here to this day. He won't. You know, now he's very supportive of Israel. He's got some great people there, like Huckabee as the ambassador, and there are others in his cabinet. So, you know, maybe they can buffer him from, you know, protect him from her or get him the truth and all. But I don't know how he came to know her, but I understand it's like quite a while. I think it's 10 years or something. And she's just dangerous to pump that stuff into him. He's the president of the United States. So it isn't like some person, you know, with no influence or power. He's got power for nuclear bombs. I was really disheartened when I read that today. I was like, oh, man, I tell you what, that's twice, I think, in a week the air was let out of my sails. Well, any final comment on that, Dave?
Well, John, the one thing that possibly could be a result of this particular relationship, the United States announced a ceasefire with the Houthis, saying just don't fire on the American ships, but did not mention Israel and the fact that the Houthis are shooting missiles into Ben Gurion Airport. So I don't know. In other words, to me, the United States and Israel should have stuck together and said, hey, don't attack Israel, don't attack the ships, and we'll have a ceasefire. But to kind of split it down the middle and saying, hey, just don't shoot on American ships or, you know, the Red Sea ships, but, you know, Israel's a separate routine. I don't know. I didn't like that when I heard that. Supposedly, that's the story.
Yeah. He did tell Israel they're free. I heard him say it, that Israel's free to do whatever it wants with Gaza, with the Houthis.
Right. Yeah.
And I think he was leading on with the way he left it. It was Iran also. Okay. Now, Dave, you did mention, and I forget exactly how you mentioned it, but anyways, the article is titled Saudi Arabia, France to impose Palestinian state without Israeli input. Now, this was a wonderful article in that it was chock full of good information. This does not bode well for France. This nation is loaded with Muslims, and the Lord may create a Muslim state in France. June is going to be a decisive month for France. So this is going to happen in next month, folks. That's just a couple weeks from now. And Dave, do you remember it was last year? There was France involved with that also? About Jerusalem had to become had to be divided and become the capital of a Palestinian state. Remember? The UN did it, and they gave Israel a year to do it.
Yeah. France is very, very into the fact that they want a Palestinian state, divide Jerusalem. And like you said, maybe we should get them some Zechariah T-shirts, John, so that they can realize that they're fulfilling prophecy.
Well, you know, the Muslims may demand a chunk out of a Muslim state in France.
Yeah, all right. It's not good.
Let me read here a paragraph from the article. The invitation concludes by emphasizing that, quote, the ultimate goal of the conference will to realize the international consensus. I'm in trouble talking tonight. Mark a point of no return and lay the foundations for the way forward by creating the environment required for a just and sustainable solution to the question of Palestine and the conflict. The purpose of this international conference will be to revive or relaunch an endless process, but to implement once and for all the two-state solution. significantly, Israel is not identified as a necessary partner to this imposed solution, and there is no stipulation Palestinian peace commitments are a prerequisite. So there you go, Dave. Whether Israel likes it or not, you're going to have a Palestinian state with, I guess they're going to tell Israel you can't clean up Gaza anymore. You know, so Hamas still, they'll take Hamas a while, but Hamas will be back in power in a couple of years. So Dave, if this is true, which I have no reason to doubt, it's not true. Something huge is going to break in June, Dave, or thereabouts, you know? They're just, apparently, Saudi Arabia and France are going to lead an international, what do they call it? Something at the UN, an international.
Consortium?
Consensus.
Consensus.
They're going to force a Palestinian state on Israel. Israel has no choice about it, and there's going to be a timeline, like within a month of this meeting, this has to happen, and then 3 months this happened, and then 6 months this happened. They're going to lay this out. Now the problem is, how are they going to enforce it? Are they going to try and tell Israel, if you don't go along with this, you know, we'll blockade you, or the French can't. None of the Europeans really have an army. Some of them have a little bit of a navy, but they're going to have to do something, Dave, to confront Israel, to do this. So are they actually going to intimidate Israel? You must divide the land. You know, you must have 500,000 Jews pull out of the West Bank. Or whatever it is, there's a huge number there now, maybe a million. And you have to, East Jerusalem now is going to be the capital of the Palestinian state. There's something going to happen, Dave. Something. Any ideas about that?
Well, John, I think it was a while ago, maybe even almost a year ago, that the United Nations passed a resolution that Jewish people in Judea / the West Bank have a certain amount of time.
A year. It was 1 year, Dave. It was 1 year.
Yeah, evacuate, okay? And that they're violating international law, and they have to basically leave the West Bank, just like you said. And, you know, the when it talks about Jerusalem and Judea will be a burdensome stone, and all the nations of the earth will be gathered together against them. Sad to say, John, all means all. And there's a possibility that can include the United States, which is not good.
We'll see, Dave, because if the world does that, if France does it, that'll put Trump, we'll really see deep down inside what's there with him. You know, if they say we're going to embargo Israel and we're going to cut airlines going there and all whatever things they can do. And what's Trump going to do? Is he going to be neutral? I don't think so. Is he going to be agreeing with them? I don't think so, because he recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, East and West Jerusalem. So they're really poking him in the eye when they say that Jerusalem must be divided.
Right.
So I think it really could bring us alongside of Israel and say, no, you're not. Now, that would be wonderful, Dave. That would be wonderful.
The one thing they might go for, John, believe it or not, because the United Nations a long time ago talked about the internationalization of Jerusalem, basically making an international city, that Israel just wouldn't have control over it. The United Nations would have control over it, I guess.
No way.
If they made it an international city.
That might be in the time of the Antichrist, but not now.
Yeah, exactly. Israel obviously would not go for that, obviously.
No, Dave, not too many people are aware of this, but in 1948, when Israel was declared a nation by the UN, Jerusalem was supposed to be an international city. neutral.
Exactly.
Did you know that?
Yes, I did. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, and what happened was when the war started, Jordan, I don't know what you would say, overran Jerusalem. And when the truce was made, about two-thirds of Jerusalem was in the hands of Jordan. So it never became an international city because of the Muslims. They started the war, and then they took Jerusalem, two-thirds of it, and wouldn't pull back. So that city was divided for 20 years until 1967. 67-day war, Israel gained control not only of Jerusalem, but all of what's called the West Bank. In the Bible, it's Judea and Samaria. In case you haven't seen it, there was a pretty good speech by the president. And there was a condensed version. And I think this is the condensed version. So if it's not, this is the condensed version. So let me get this going here. It's only about 5 minutes. It's about President Trump's speech in Saudi Arabia.
Amazing times when the leader of the free world is able to condemn evil and terrorism and violence in the way that President Trump explained it to the leaders of the Arab world recently. Take a look at this incredible speech.
65% of its population is under the age of 30. Like all young men and women, they seek great futures to build, great national projects to join, and a place for their families to call home. But this untapped potential, this tremendous cause of optimism, is held at bay by bloodshed and terror. There can be no coexistence with this violence. There can be no tolerating it, no accepting it, no excusing it, and no ignoring it. Every time a terrorist murders an innocent person and falsely invokes the name of God, it should be an insult to every person of faith. Terrorists do not worship God. They worship death. If we do not act against this organized terror, then we know what will happen and what will be the end result. Terrorism's devastation of life will continue to spread. Peaceful societies will become engulfed by violence, and the futures of many generations will be sadly squandered. If we do not stand in uniform condemnation of this killing, then not only will we be judged by our people, not only will we be judged by history, but we will be judged by God. This is not a battle between different faiths, different sects, or different civilizations. This is a battle between barbaric criminals who seek to obliterate human life and decent people, all in the name of religion. People that want to protect life and want to protect their religion. This is a battle between good and evil. When we see the scenes of destruction in the wake of terror, we see no signs that those murdered were Jewish or Christian, Shia or Sunni. When we look upon the strains of innocent blood soaked into the ancient ground, we cannot see the faith or sect or tribe of the victims. We see only that they were children of God whose deaths are an insult to all that is holy. But we can only overcome this evil if the forces of good are united and strong. And if everyone in this room does their fair share and fulfills their part of the burden. Terrorism has spread all across the world, but the path to peace begins right here on this ancient soil in this sacred land. America is prepared to stand with you in pursuit of shared interests and common security. But the nations of the Middle East cannot wait for American power to crush this enemy for them. The nations of the Middle East will have to decide what kind of future they want for themselves, for their country, and frankly, for their families and for their children. It's a choice between two futures, and it is a choice America cannot make for you. A better future is only possible if your nations drive out the terrorists and drive out the extremists. Drive them out. Drive them out of your places of worship. Drive them out of your communities. Drive them out of your holy land. And drive them out of this earth.
Forceful words spoken brilliantly. I find it interesting that some of the biggest genocides of recent history were committed by atheists. When you think of Stalin, Mussolini, and of course Hitler, these are people who openly rejected the belief in God. What President Trump was doing in this speech, he was speaking to a group of religious people. These Arabs are believers in Allah. They believe in one God. And by invoking in them their faith, he's helping them realize that when you believe in God, it's then that you believe in every human being created in the image of God. An atheist doesn't believe in God and therefore doesn't necessarily believe that every human being has the right to exist. But what the President of the United States was doing in the speech was allowing these leaders of the Arab world to realize that if you truly believe in God, then it's God who created us all in his image, not only those of us who...
Okay, Dave.
What's yes, John.
What's your comment on it?
Amazing speech. And hopefully they'll listen, because obviously there's a lot of radical Muslims, jihadists, that are doing the direct opposite of what Trump is telling them to do, the direct opposite. And a lot of these governments are complacent with the terrorism that it creates.
See, here's the problem with it, Dave. They are like fundamental Quranists. You know, they're just following their prophet Muhammad, Dave. So they are acting like real Muslims if you follow the Quran and the Hadiths. And these,
right.
And they know that. All those Muslims there know that, Dave. So Trump spoke the truth, but he tried to separate the terrorists from Islam. And they don't, the Saudi Arabians don't want to do that. Like, in other words, they don't believe the Quran in these areas. So if you understand what I'm saying, Dave.
Right.
And so that poses a problem, because ISIS and Al-Qaeda and these Ayatollahs and Hamas, and they're all, I guess you would say, hardcore Quran believers. And all this stuff about hating the Jews, yeah, they're pigs and apes, Dave. So I heard what he was saying. And it to a Western mind, it would ring to them. I don't know. They just don't want to be taken over by Iranians. They're afraid of that. So he went in there telling that he said the right things, but with Islam there, their believers in Islam, I don't know how far it will go. It's strange. I don't know what to tell you. You know, he's trying to tell them be nice guys and God loves everybody. And the Bible and the Quran says Allah hates the unbelievers. The Jews are apes and pigs. The Christians are pagans. We worship three gods. And we worship, they call those sin. We commit shirk, the worst sin you could commit. So what do you do with that?
Yeah, well, it's good that he said something, John.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Is the light bulb going to go on? Probably not.
Well, he was well received. I have to say that. I mean, these nations cut some big deals with him for trillions of dollars coming our way. In a sense, you see, I think they're as afraid of Iran as anybody else is, because if Iran wants the nuclear weapons, and they would be they'd be at the mercy of the Shiites, and they're Sunni Muslims. So, but that's the problem, Dave. You can't, when you know the Quran, you can't treat them like, hey, God loves everybody, let's live together. All right. There's another speech he gave that was really good also. And I wish it was short. Well, his speech was long, but the one, they took an excerpt out of it that was really good, talking directly to Iran about what's going to happen to them. Let me just scan here to see if there's anything else important about Israel and the Middle East. Oh, yes. Yes, folks. No. That's for the second hour, Dave. I'm sorry. I want you to be in suspense about what's so good about the second hour.
Okay, sounds good.
It has to do with NATO and the ambassador to NATO is going to start talks with the members of NATO for us withdrawing from Europe, our military. We're going to downsize it. Trump. I guess that's about it, Dave. Really, the only other thing is Israel has moved into Gaza. They've called up the reserves, and they're in Gaza now, and they want to completely break the back of Hamas in Gaza. So they're grinding it out, Dave. All right, anything in closing?
Oh, yeah. Before I forget, John, earlier today, Gina and Randy gave me a call, and Randy has a very, very interesting background. He used to work for the International Monetary Fund, and he had some interesting information, and it was about the International Monetary Fund relationship with Israel before 1948, when they called it Palestine, and then after. So it was a little complicated. So is it okay if Randy calls in and explains it, if he's available?
He may be here right now. Hello,
okay.
Gigi and Randy. Hello.
Hello. John?
Yes.
Yeah, I wrote a couple books while I was at the IMF, and I was looking at the history of the data for the IMF, that was published and continues to be published to this day. And that data set started in 1948, first quarter. And that data set showed the data for Palestine. And then by the second quarter, it showed the data for Israel. And I thought at the time, how were they getting data from Palestine in the first quarter and data from Israel in the second quarter? And what I didn't realize was they were the same data set with two different names, because the IMF, which is a UN organization, they had recognized what became Israel as Palestine, so that they had use that all the time that they had only been in existence since 44, but everybody had recognized that area of the world as Palestine ever since Emperor Hadrian didn't like anything to do with the Jews or Israel. So he was the one that had named what was really Israel as Palestine. So then I realized that it was just a name change. The data sets were the same data sets. This was things like on gross national product and various other macroeconomic things. But it was the same data set. And I just think it's really ironic that originally Palestine was Israel, and what is today Palestine had nothing to do with Palestine. Those Arabs weren't called Palestinians because the Israelis were called Palestinians. I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, very, very good. So they just started the collecting the data in 1948.
Right, yeah. You know, you're always talking about you were born at the time that Israel was founded. Well, I was born in the week when the IMF was founded, which was in 1944, because I'm 4 years older than you are. So that's when it started. The IMF started in 44, but they didn't start collecting data for all the countries until the first quarter of 48, at which time they said, these are the data for Palestine. And by the middle of the year, they were saying, these are the data from Israel.
Okay. So you lived through the, you were actually, I'm only after Israel a week, but you were 4 years before Israel.
Yeah. Right, yes.
Now, how does the IMF work today with Israel?
Well, Israel is one of the member countries of the IMF. When they have annual consultations with the individual countries, there's a team from the IMF that goes there and reviews their economic policies and gives them recommendations and so forth. So they're just a regular practicing member of the International Monetary Fund, which is an organization of 180 countries of the United States.
Okay. Now, are you following what's going on in China?
Yeah, pretty much so. What are you referring to?
Well, the breaking up, the cracking of the Chinese economy.
Well, I'll tell you what they've got going on with that real estate sector, where they've got ghost cities and where it's there's mortgages that aren't being paid by the thousands, and which means the banks are all in trouble. I don't know how they sustain it. I guess it's sustained by the fact that the central government is very rich and they're somehow propping them up in a way. But I don't see how that is possible. I mean, I did see that the tariffs being so high, that wasn't going to last, because without the U.S. market, then the Chinese would have been out of business in no time.
All right. That's basically the way I'm looking at it, the same as you. And Dave and myself have seen this. In fact, I'm sure we discussed it with you there, the collapse of the real estate market there in China is absolutely devastating. Devastating.
You know, I'll tell you something funny, John. I gave advice to central banks in 30 different countries during my career. And of all the countries I worked in, my favorite, this will surprise you, was China. Because the Chinese people, like most of the people of the world, they don't like the U.S. government at all, but they like individual Americans, and they treated me so good. And what made it my favorite country was that they were so smart and so efficient that when I asked them to do something with their finances, they did it within 5 days. Whereas if I was working in some country in Africa and I asked them to do something, well, they weren't going to do it. So I was up all night doing it myself. But the Chinese were very, very efficient, and they were very, very cooperative with me. In Vietnam, they'd tell me they'd do something. They promised me they would do it. The only problem was they wouldn't tell me what century they were going to do it in. So, you know, the countries varied with how much they cooperated or whatever. But the Chinese, I mean, I feel bad for the individuals that I knew in China because they were very nice and they were so incredibly productive. So that's what I have to say about China.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Randy. Thank you. Dave, anything there for you in closing? Let me see if Dave is still here. Nope, that's the wrong one. Dave has left us. All right. And Sister Sharon.
Yes, Chaplain John.
I'm just wondering where Kathy is.
Oh, I haven't seen her. No, I have no idea.
All right. Well, any questions about the first hour? Any comments?
No, I really thoroughly enjoyed listening to it. And there is so much that's going on. And I think there's just so much, how can I put it? Like, just, you know, like, there's so much going on that we're all saying, well, what's going on?
Ah,
if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, it's just, it's kind of like overwhelming. And we just have to keep, I think, staying in the Word and reading our Bibles and stuff and listening to good sermons and preachings and everything. And I just thank you for being here for all of us, Chaplain John.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, I want to keep everybody in the cutting edge.
Amen. Amen.
All right.
Absolutely.
Now, in the second hour, I want to cover the Middle East, but in my blog, I have a title here, Wars and Rumors of Wars. So there's things here that I want to keep you up with here, what's going on. Now, this is a great article. It's titled, The Time is Right with Trump's Golden Dome Defense of America. And he originally called it the Iron Dome after Israel's defense there, but they call it the Golden Dome now. And I highly recommend the article because it gives you like a history lesson, kind of going back to World War II, and it puts everything in place. So let me read this paragraph here, and then I'll discuss more information. All right, quote.
Okay.
I gave you the title. In some ways, Golden Dome will be a return to the glory days of Eisenhower's Nike plan. I'll explain that. Only this time, more reliable, higher levels of effectiveness, and perhaps not as noticeable. Golden Dome will be a layered defense of missiles, cannon, electronic warfare, and lasers defending dozens of America's cities, ports, airfields, factories, and sensitive strategic sites. Some of these capabilities will be on the ground, and some may be in orbit, like the Star Wars concept of operation. Sensors such as radar, electro-optics, heat and motion sensors will be linked to regional and national command centers to conduct engagement decisioning with advanced artificial intelligence at cyber speed. There you go. So the article, when it went into history, now I remember this, what he was talking about. Our defense was, they called them the Nike missiles back then. And they had rung New York City with them. So when I went into, anytime we were driving into New York City, there was one particular point there I would look for, because the Nike missiles, you could see them. And sometimes they had them standing up in the air, and other times they couldn't be seen. But New York City was wrong. Now, at least the ocean-wide, I don't think from inland. And they were supposed to defend the city from attack because it had to come from airplanes. You know, we didn't have the missiles back then. Now, back further out on Long Island where I grew up, further east was West Hampton Air Force Base. I'm trying to think. It was Air Force. But they had the Nike missiles on them also. So he was writing about that in the article. Now, see, but the problem is these missiles could only defend like a pretty limited area. So maybe 25 miles out, not much more than that. So they were, I mean, when you stop and think of it, how did these bombers get from, like, we'll say Russia to offshore New York City? Because that's what the Nike missiles were, to take down aircraft. So if they're going to get here, they had to fly, you know, tremendously long range over the Atlantic, or maybe come from the north. But then it just didn't seem to make sense. I think it was more for the public to feel secure. You know, you had this defensive system there that could protect you from Russian attack, but they didn't have aircraft carriers.
Right.
So how were they going to get their planes to fly from Russia to New York City unless it came from over the North Pole, and then you'd need to have the cities defended from inland also? Well, anyways, that was the main defense, and then they had some other systems that were also replaced the Nike, and it just was like not real almost. I mean, how were the Russian planes going to get here? They weren't really meant to take missiles out, and I don't know how back in the 50s there, I don't know if we had the missiles to do it. But anyways, then we had a more advanced system came later. But soon as the Cold War kind of ended with Russia, we let down our defenses because there was no threat. But here's the very interesting thing this article brought out. We are barely, our internal defense is hardly down to nothing. It was pretty shocking. I mean, our aircraft carriers aren't home, and huge numbers of our planes are in the Pacific, they're in Europe, they're in Asia. So we've got very limited protection right now in America. And you might say, well, you know, do we need to have this protection? I would say against China, maybe, but we definitely need the missile. We need a defensive system against the missile. So, Sister Kathy just came. Hello, Sister Kathy.
Hey, Chaplain, before we're over, I want to give a report on Sam and Emma. But it was very, very interesting about Randy's thing about China, because
yes,
there's more Christians in China than there are the population of America.
Yeah, that's something. 300 million.
That is a statistic that is just unbelievable. And don't you know that just makes China so mad? You know, if they even believe it. But this has been a wonderful program. I was just listening on the computer.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And now, Sister Kathy, going back in the day there, you're somewhere up near me in age. Do you remember seeing the Nike missiles anywhere there, maybe along the Georgia coast?
Like actually seeing them?
Yeah, you could see them.
You know? I don't remember that. I know we've got a bomb in the Tybee Ocean that was dropped.
Talking of those missiles, we used to be able to see them coming up out of the ground, not more than about 5 miles away from where I live.
Wow.
And for the defense and stuff. And we were always told it's because of the auto plants and Detroit Metro and stuff like that, that they were there to protect against that. And then we had the Willow Run Airport that was always up to be protected and stuff. So we would see, we wouldn't know when, but we could drive down this road and we would see these missiles pointing right out of the ground.
Yeah, yeah.
Where were they going?
No, they weren't fired. They were sitting there. Wherever.
Yeah. They were just,
they were just pointing for somebody flying over to see?
No, right, you could drive
right.
by
anybody
it.
That,
you could drive
by it. Or anything. Yeah, I had a clear memory in my mind, clear.
Yeah,
and
well,
we knew
too.
That they wanted to defend us.
Yeah, yeah, I was there with my my dad, and I was talking to him about it. He said, oh, that's a battery of missiles. And I was thinking like a car battery. How do you get that? So yeah. I remember him explaining it to me. But they were called Nike missiles, and they were pretty big. And they were on a an arm that would come down below ground, but then they would bring them up for whatever reason. They bring them up, and you'd see like 8 or 10 of them just ready to fire.
Right.
And then they would bring them back down again.
So, right. Yeah, when you knew something was going on, especially if they were out of the ground, that usually meant something was going on. And I know where they had ours out here. There was a few little tiny Army and Marine quarters and stuff like that. So they weren't like left unattended. They did have like little, I mean, teeny tiny little military base right there.
Yeah, they had another. They had another battery off of. It's called the Beltway that went around New York there in Brooklyn. Sometimes I didn't go there often, but you drive by and you could see the missiles. And then Hampton Air Force Base was east of where I live. And sometimes when you drove by, you could see the missiles there also.
Right, right. So yeah, this is very interesting. And I know you brought it up, so I mean, I didn't mean to break into the conversation.
No, that's all right. I'm glad that you you remembered that, because I remember it vividly. And the author of this article remembered it, just like we did. But they were all over the place in America, those Nike.
And you're spelling it M-I-K-E?
Yep, Nike.
Right. Well, my uncle was the game warden in just 10 miles outside of Fort Stewart. And we would go through that Army base, you know, every 3 weeks. And we'd see all kind of stuff, you know, like the things, those tanks and all sorts of things sitting up there. But, yeah, that's it.
Well, they had them. They wouldn't have them maybe in, you know, it had to be somewhere along the coast of Georgia.
And that would be near the coast. Hinesville is very close to Brunswick. And
Right.
All right, Brother Charles, any comments there about the first hour, what we're talking about now?
Well, I came in late, Chaplain. Is Trump going to do the deal with this Golden Dome thing?
Oh, yeah.
Does it sound like he's moving?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
That's good. I mean, Putin's going to have a cow, but that's okay. I don't think he can keep up technology-wise.
See, that's what caused Russia, communism, to fall in the first place. They couldn't keep up with our technological advancements. And that's why it collapsed. They couldn't do it. And it broke them financially. It's something Russia broke financially somewhat like China's doing now.
Yes, sir. Well, you know, he'll just have to be satisfied with all his nuclear weapons, which, you know, who knows if it's, I don't know. That's really going to get him, but he's afraid of Trump, so that's good.
All right, I got another article here. U.S. to begin European troop withdrawal talks. NATO ambassador says, all right, most of Europe now is under the control of the New World Order and no longer free. But the enemy of America, but the enemy of America, Germany, is already gone. I mean, Germany has become our enemy because they're totalitarian. They become the Germans, the English, not all of them, but the French. They want to put you in jail. You're a terrorist if you talk against the government. That's exactly what the communists did, the Nazis did, you know, Mussolini did, all of them. I mean, so that's, Europe is becoming exactly like that now. And I don't know how much longer we can, I'm going to say run with them, hang out with them, because they're, I mean, Canada is like that. So we're becoming isolated as these other Western civilizations that used to be the bastion of freedom are now becoming totalitarian. If you speak out against the government, you're a terrorist, you're hate, you're awful. So it's progressing extremely rapidly. So, we're looking at it from our perspective, and Trump is looking at it. And Vance gave a wonderful speech there a couple months ago. I mean, what I said just now, he laid out right in front of them. And they were really upset with him. But, you know, are we going to be the military backbone in NATO of nations that are becoming totalitarian? I mean, they talk about us being fascists. They are. Well, at least a totalitarian. I don't know if you call them fascist or not. So anyways, I could see America pretty well pulling out of NATO now. Let them, I mean, look what the Europeans have done. They started World War I. We got dragged in it. Then they started World War II. Hitler and the Europeans started it. We got dragged into that. And we've had hundreds of thousands of soldiers killed and wounded. You know, it cost us enormous amounts of money, both wars, especially World War II. And now they're desperate for war with Russia. They really are, folks. Putin is no angel, but the way NATO was being run, decisions are being done, the way they provoked Putin. Brother Charles, what's your take on the way I'm laying this out about what's going on in Europe?
I think it's fine, Jeff. I mean, they've got their woke elements, which are destroying them. The left, you know, you hear about Christian Democrats and people think that's conservative. No, that's these people have in Germany, in Great Britain, systematically in France. You know, they have entire no-go zones in these countries where Muslims have just taken over the entire area. The army doesn't even go in. So it's just a matter of time. The Muslims say, you know, win through the womb. Well, yeah, they're going to take over Western Europe and through unchecked immigration. And so it's just the woke it's just a satanic, destructive ideology that's unfortunately in America and Israel, but we just.
Because they're without God.
Yes, sir.
And we were heading that way under Biden. But the Lord had mercy on us.
Oh, yeah, he did. And he's having mercy on Israel with Netanyahu, I believe.
Yes. Cool. Yes. All right. Let's take a look at another article here.
Can I make one comment about Germany?
Yes.
In 1706, they sent missionaries to India, and so did England. Don't you think? I mean, does that surprise you that they were mission-oriented, even though it was that far back? That just blew my mind.
Was that the Moravians?
No, it was the Lutherans.
Okay. Yeah.
That just was very, very, very interesting because Carey didn't go till 1793, and this was 1706. So yeah. They were planting seeds.
Yeah, it's a long story with Europe, but it started to really come apart in the early 1800s. And by the early 1900s, Europe was just about shot with Christianity. Anything that was really Christian was an apostasy. So there were individual churches, but the seminaries and denominations were gone. They were gone. And it tried to come here, but it really didn't come here until, I'm going to say, in the 70s. And then it's come here and it's tried. The World Council of Churches. I mean, just look at the way the Methodists, the Episcopalians, the Lutherans, the Presbyterians. Now, they used to be solid. The Methodists were, you could go to about any Methodist church and you'd hear good preaching. I mean, now it's all politics and protecting homosexual rights and all. I mean, it's gone.
Well, half of them split and they're still
right.
Good.
Right. Well.
Well, know, better than
better.
The other half.
I was at a loss for an explanation for that, Mr. Kathy. Okay, another great article here. Welcome to a tripolar world. There are no longer neutral states. This was a fabulous article again. Folks, if you take time and go into my blog, I really posted some. When you read them, you gain tremendous knowledge here. All right, so this is from the article. Well, let me read you my comment on it. This is a fabulous article with a clear picture of the current development of the world political structure. But everything's changing, folks, rapidly. We mentioned that earlier in the show. All right, quote, China and the globalists are outraged over Trump. If it wasn't for him, they would have control of the world, and one of them would have control the other. Trump represents something not really seen before on this scale of human history, a citizen-centric nation state that is boldly nationalistic and focused on placing its population first. Globalists don't get it. This doesn't mean a warlike nation bent on conquest. This means a leader and government system that will work passionately but peacefully to assert their nation state's interest. This world works best when sovereign nations place their citizens and national interests first and work out differences in a peaceful manner. Well, what he did was the article showed there are three spheres of power now in the world. The first one, not necessarily in power or anything, but is Europe. The second one is China. And the third one is the United States. So like nations you wouldn't even think of are aligning with us now in a big way, like Italy. It's amazing how Italy is becoming aligned with us, away from Europe. El Salvador is another one that comes to mind. Romania is another one, but they're trying to drown. The European Union there is trying to drown out Romania. And I'm trying to think of the other ones there. Netherlands is trying, but it might be too far gone, folks, in the Netherlands.
Hungary is a good example. Viktor Orban.
Yes, thank you. Hungary is one. And then, so nations are lining up with China, like Russia. But China is a basket case, and Russia is right with it. Who wants to line up with Putin and the Chinese? And you're going to get involved in their economic system? I don't think so. And of course, you got the European countries. But they're affecting many other nations. You know, like India. India also is getting very close with us. India is. Australia is. Japan is. So these alliances are really forming right in front of our eyes. The old ones really are dead now. And new alliances are forming. So one of the new alliances is China, Russia, North Korea, Iran, and others, and some others. So it's amazing. These different blocks have kind of formed overnight. If you have any questions or comments, please, you can call in 717-409-5553. So, Rita, you're there quietly. Any questions or comments?
Oh, I just, I'm just listening to all you guys speaking, and I just find it very interesting. I just find the whole evening very interesting. I love Sunday nights.
Good. Good. All right. Thank you. And then we got Gigi and Randy there. And where's Paula Jean? Yeah.
You want me to speak or?
No. No.
Well, we hadn't seen Paula Jean, so she's absent.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. Gigi,
I just have a question. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. My question is, you know, we have talked about and read about and studied about the alignment coming up, I guess, is starting maybe prior to tribulation, but where do you see this in the scope of the biblical prophecy of the alignments that are going to come up?
Well, it has to happen. We know there's going to be a 10-nation alliance or 10-king alliance, and I think we're starting to see it kind of come together now, just in the early stages. But the way the politics were structured 10 years ago, back to after World War II, that's all coming down now. It's rapid, it's fluid right now. So I think in the end, you're going to have like 10 regions of the world. And that will make up the foundation of the power base for the Antichrist.
Well, I was, I had sent Dave an article. I don't know if you saw it from Israel 365.
I don't think I did.
Fellow. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I meant to send it to you too. But it's in Israel 365, and there is a fellow who's part of his name, besides, I think, Abdullah or whatever, he's calling himself Hashem, and he says that he is Jesus Christ, he is Muhammad, he's the one true Pope. And I mean, you couldn't make this up. And so then he is claiming that he wants them to build the temple. He wants Israel to build the temple. So I don't know if you've seen that or not.
If you haven't,
I'll email it to you. Because, like I said, it's in Israel 365. And the thing we saw it on a pastor that does like a review of current events every week. And he was talking about the times throughout scriptures where pagans helped the Jews, either to build the temple or that they actually aided them in the past. So he thought that was kind of interesting that this came up. I don't know. It's so ridiculous. I don't know. But like I said, they published it in Israel 365.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with it at all.
Okay, yeah. But he's got a group and they're following him, and they're all part of Islam, but they're saying, they're saying that it's necessary for that temple to be built. So they want to help Israel, which is bizarre, but yeah. There you go.
Yeah, that'll start a war with Islam real quickly. I mean, they that if you want to press their buttons and have all-out war, that's what you do. Bring the bulldozers up there and knock down the Dome of the Rock and
I know.
Alexa Mosque. All right, another article. Trump's military shakeup. Strengthening national defense. The military must, we have to get those woke generals and admirals out. They are dangerous. I mean, really dangerous. So here's the article. President Trump is shaking up the U.S. military with a series of executive orders and structural reforms aimed at restoring focus, discipline, and combat readiness. Together with Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, Trump has moved to eliminate ideological distraction and to reorient the armed forces around war fighting, deterrence, and strength. That's a radical idea, to have the armed forces focused around warfare, deterrence, and strength. With Biden and the Democrats, they were just trying to use the military there as a social experiment. They wanted to, just in time, Trump was elected to stop this. You could get it. It could get so deep into the army, you couldn't get it out. Or the military, you couldn't get it out. But I think we're okay. Okay, back to the article. His initiatives include reinstating the ban on transgendered service members, eliminating DEI programs from military institutions. Yeah, West Point in particular has been cleaned out of these professors there and their ideology. Wonderful. Wonderful as I'm seeing them getting cleaned out. Reinstating troops discharged for refusing the COVID-19 vaccine, launching development of an American Iron Dome, a Gold Dome missile defense system, ordering a 20% reduction in four-star generals, and restructuring Army commands for greater efficiency, and proposing the largest defense budget in U.S. history to modernize forces, raise pay, and revitalize the defense industrial base. Okay, Charles, how does that sound to you?
Sounds great, Chaplain. I'm glad that God heard our prayers and saved us from that wicked witch of California. And Trump is really going in there and cleaning the house.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, I think just in time. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Now, this is a very interesting article about the tariffs. U.S. and China agreed to suspend most tariff hikes. Now, they suspended it, I think, for it's either 60 or 90 days. And I heard Trump speaking about it, and it was amazing what he said. He said if he would have held the tariffs any longer, he said it would have broke China. And I believe he's absolutely right. He said it would have broke China. I mean, every day I'm looking at the news there, and there are massive amounts of unemployment, massive in China. Many of the Chinese have left the big cities, and they've gone back to the villages. There are huge unemployment lines and actual rioting started now, starting over the collapse of the Chinese economy. So it's more than just like the industrial base of China. It has to do with the banks. Now, the banks, there are, again, I don't know the numbers, but huge numbers, hundreds of thousands of Chinese that bought like houses or apartments before they were built. And now the builders are bankrupt and they can't build them. And the banks are, there's mortgages and the banks want the mortgages paid. And the people aren't paying them because they've been ripped off by real estate. So the Chinese banks are heading to become insolvent. So if you go to take money out of the bank, you can't because there's no money in it. So that, these are huge folks, the real estate industry, the banking industry, and then and the industrials there, the Chinese, their goods aren't being shipped. So the factories are shuttered now, and the docks are absolutely full of these container ships, but no place to send them. So China is in big, big, big trouble. This is the time. You know, we spoke about this years back about China and what was going on. Well, what was going on and what we warned about is here now. It's right on top of us here now. Amazing. Amazing. All right. I was talking to Jamil today. And he said things are very quiet between India and Pakistan. Trump spoke to both prime ministers and instantly they stopped the war and they've got a truce going. So it's amazing what he did. So in Pakistan, they're very, very thankful. And in India, they're very, very thankful of what Trump did. Now there's a very, growing, friendship, partnership between India and the United States and India and Israel. India got, the key missiles that, Israel's using there against, Hezbollah and Hamas. And apparently these missiles, not the missiles, they're drones. They were very, very effective. The Indian military and the Pakistanis were very, very favorable about them because they couldn't be shot down and they were hitting right on targets in Pakistan from India. So it's sort of like in India now they're testing these weapons out. But India has grown closer to the United States and Israel. Oh, let's see what else I have. The Pentagon has, they're in the process of removing all transgendered personnel. They believe there's about 15,000 in the military. They're all in the process of being discharged. So, and what they're going to do is everybody now that applies, everybody that's, just lost my mind here for a second, signs up in recruiting. They're going to be, tested to see if they are transgendered or not. So the Army is serious that the transgendered are not coming into the Army and they're not going to be disruptive as they go around men thinking they're women. I guess that's mostly the way it would go. So that just about covers everything here with wars and rumors of wars. I'm just looking. All right, here's some headings that I have here that you might be interested in. China's mortgage crisis, protests everywhere. China's economic collapse has begun. So this is from the, it's a video. Right now, China is facing what might be its most severe economic challenge in decades. Mortgage boycotts are spreading like wildfire. construction sites stand abandoned. Banks are restructuring withdrawal. The real estate sector, which has powered nearly a third of China's entire economy, is imploding, and no one seems to know how to stop it. Now, my take on this is that God is stripping communism off China. Communism is not going into the New World Order there that's coming up. China is going to be stripped of communism because the tribulation period is going to be, the first half is going to be under the whore of Babylon. And so I see it stripped, folks. I see communism just gone. And what will happen is there'll probably be, as communism is collapsing, there'll be a big move of the Lord to sweep everyone into it as possible. And then the remainders will probably become Buddhists or Shinto. There's quite a few different pagan languages, pagan beliefs there. But China is really coming apart fast, right before our very eyes. I remember watching, was it yesterday? And I don't think I think the video was real long. But anyways, there was some guy that was drafted into the army. And next thing you know, he's protesting. And it's like unheard of in China. They're expecting him any day to disappear and never be seen again. But he's out in the public street and he hasn't been picked up yet. So that's like astonishing in China. It would be very odd here too, but to do that in communist China. So it looks like the hold is being broken now in China. It's going to become very, very weak communism. Of course, something new will replace it. So this is what I see. China collapsing and people stripping off communism as fast as you can think, incredibly fast. And then a new government will come to power. And that new government will be like atheistic, but China's going to turn. China's going to become religious, and I think it's going to be maybe not at first, but there will be a big change, and China is going to become pagan. So its background is paganism, and that would fit perfectly with the Whore of Babylon. Would fit absolutely perfectly. Well, we're at the end of the
story. Wait a minute. You said they're going to switch to Christian and then back to paganism?
No. What's going to happen with China? I'm projecting this. As communism falls, there's going to be a surge to the Lord in China. However, the ones that don't believe, it's going to be a like revival and surge of Taoism and Buddhism and whatever. Shinto, I believe, is Japanese. So there'll be a big revival of the pagan religions that China, that's what China was. Mm-hmm. And then, see, that matches the Whore of Babylon. Can you see that, Sister Kathy?
Yeah, but I was thinking you had said that the ones that profess Christianity would revert back to paganism. So
no,
that's
no.
good that
if
they
I
won't.
Said,
that's
if I
awesome.
Said that, no, if I said that,
no,
I
you just said
myself.
That. Yeah, you know. Yeah, I misunderstood it, but that is so rewarding for the people who gave their life and sacrificed Lottie Moon and Hudson Taylor, all those C.T. Studd, all those people, the Cambridge Seven, all those people who I mean, that is just such a commendation for them. Their labor was not in vain.
Yeah, it's not in vain right now. I mean, with all the...
Truly.
Yeah, now what I fully expect is the same thing to happen with North Korea.
Yes.
That the same thing is going to sweep into North Korea, and that communism dictatorship is going to fall. Now, Phnom Penh, which is the capital of North Korea, back 100 years ago, it was called the Jerusalem of the Orient. Did you have any idea of that, Sister Kathy, Brother Charles, Sister Sharon, anyone? Yes.
I had no clue.
Yeah, it was big revivals that had swept through Korea like 120 years ago, around 1900.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Phnom Penh, the capital, was, I mean, a real godly city and tremendous. And the churches covered the whole area. But mm-hmm. then World War II came, and the Japanese were there, and they really tore up society. And then the Russians came from the north, coming down, and they brought communism with them. And open Christianity died right there at the end of World War II. Well, I don't know exactly when, but they all that wonderful, like it was known as the Phnom Penh was the Jerusalem of Asia. And another wonderful city. Now, I remember this city when I was a kid. People used to talk about it. And that was Beirut, Lebanon.
Godly?
I don't know about that. I don't know about. But the majority of Lebanon was Christian. And they held power. It was kind of like a truce government with the Muslims. But it was the center of banking in the Middle East, the center of insurance companies and all. But then the PLO came, and absolutely, that city has never been the same. Oh, it's been destroyed several times now. Israel's been bombing it because of Hezbollah. But yeah, it's something, you know, you'd see a city, it's like Jerusalem. To them, it looked invincible. And then God sent Nebuchadnezzar, and what happened?
Mm-hmm.
So Beirut is just a hellhole now. It is an awful city, where it was called the Paris of the Mediterranean. Paris was the city it was called. And Phnom Penh was the Jerusalem of Asia. Okay, so... I expect China, I think China's in its death throes right now, which makes
and
it.
And we haven't.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
We haven't heard anything about that dam that was just determined that it was going to break, and evidently they've shored it up.
Yeah, the Three Gorges Dam.
Yeah, Three Gorges, yes.
Yeah. I've got mixed feelings about that. I watched some engineers saying that this dam is ready to go, and it's this, that, and the other, and it's starting to buckle. And then I've watched other engineers say, no, that's not true. That's an exaggeration. And all. So I don't know what to say, Sister Kathy, but I know, you know, a good earthquake there could maybe really loosen that up there, crack it.
Amen.
You know? Now that was, I saw maps and presentations. If that dam was to go, what would happen downstream? Wow-wee.
Wipe out half of the population.
Because that dam is hundreds of feet high, holding water back. You know, hundreds.
It would wipe out so many Christians in Wuhan, though. It would be horrible.
Yeah, now that's a good question, because my daughter, when she was in China, she was stationed first in Wuhan, and she said it was like they openly worshiped the Lord there in Wuhan, and her husband drove a Christian bus to pick people up in the morning and bring them to church. Now, the further north you went in China, the harder the government got towards the people, less freedoms they had. But in Wuhan, it was complete freedom. Now, of course, that's changed. But while she was there, it was complete freedom. Yeah, so it could very well kill a lot of Christians, Charles. You know, depending upon where they're, Wuhan was the closest major city, but she was not, the Christians were more in the country away from Wuhan. At least that's what I believe she told me. But yes, it was a big area for Christians in China. All right, let's see what I have here anymore. Okay, I'm going over to my next blog, and that is called, get back up here, that's called Critically Important Information. And this is a mixture of all sorts of stuff. Now, this is really something. This article here is shocking. Oklahoma's schools to teach issue of Democratic voter fraud. Students will analyze 2020 election anomalies. So absolutely incredible. No, my comment was this information will be good for every American to read because there's all sorts of proofs that they're offering that the election was stolen. So this is the article now. Under the direction of State School Superintendent Brian Walters, schools in Oklahoma must analyze the results of the 2020 presidential and the statistical anomalies that it presented. According to one textbook, students will be asked to identify discrepancies in 2020 election results by looking at graphs and other information, including the sudden halting of ballot counting in select cities and key battleground states. Oh, so how do you like that? That's pretty cool. This is, we're getting really deep now. You know, Trump is just over 3 months as president, and they're going to teach this in schools about the 2020 election was stolen. I think this is like, wow, wait. So, wow. All right. This guy, I forget his first name, but his last name is Hansen. And he's got a video out there. The title is No One is Prepared for What's About to Happen in California. And he's going over how they're running the state into the ground. I think they've got a $12 billion deficit. And all that money, or at least most of it, is for illegal aliens, for medical attention and that. This is incredible. From the article. In this video, Hansen dissects how progressive, what are they? They shouldn't call it progressive. They should call it degenerate or the opposite of progressive would be regressive policies have led to California's decline. From rising crime and homelessness to unchecked bureaucrat overreach. He argued that Newsom embodies the contradictions of the modern left promoting equity while presiding over inequality and pushing climate agenda will benefit from elite privileges. Hansen illustrates how California, once the symbol of American opportunity, has become a cautionary tale under one-party rule. Ultimately, he contends that the state's dysfunction reveals the dangerous consequences of ideology-driven leadership disconnected from everyday reality. Amen to that. Well, if you read more of the article, though, it's like right on top of them now. The state is in great, the $12 billion in the hole, and the huge amount of it is for all the illegal aliens they brought in. And from what I understand, they're not going to get any money from Trump unless they begin the reconstruction of these cities in California. So why should you give more money? Because you're rewarding them for their policies. Oh, I put an article in here with a link to, you could listen to the Joe Biden interview. It's really, really bad, folks. He was interviewed by the Justice Department. Wow, you could see his mind was gone. Really bad. I mean, really bad. Embarrassingly bad. California's Democrat governor signs a law that makes it illegal to dead name misgender, transgendered people in certain places. So that's being passed now. But what also is being passed is legislation that they're going to hold parents accountable. So if you have a child and he's born and you name him John, and then later John wants to be Jane, and you call him by his birth name, John, that's a crime now. That's a crime. So that is just about to be passed also.
Just in California?
No, this is Colorado.
Oh.
Colorado is a horse race to the finish line of between Colorado and California now. Yeah. It's anti-discrimination law. Now, this one here is really interesting. Secret Service could force Comey to answer questions. Comey posted a picture of a beach, and the seashells on the beach make two numbers, 86 and 47. Now, 86 in a lot of military terms, and a lot of industry, like let's say a hamburger falls on the floor at McDonald's, and somebody comes by to clean it up, and they ask the boss, what do we do with this? And they'll say, 86 it. That means throw it away, get rid of it. And then that's a term, that's one of the code numbers in law enforcement. It's kind of universal in law enforcement. So now Comey sees this, these two numbers etched in the sand at the beach with these clamshells. And it says 86, and there's a space, and it says 47. So
he did it, didn't he?
Yes.
He constructed it.
Sure he did. Yeah. He said he found it. He found it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Sure. So anyways, that's a threat. I mean, it's almost, Mr. Cathy, I see that it's almost like a signal out there to...
Exactly.
Yeah, mm-hmm. To people that have been like Manchurian.
Programmed.
Yeah, programmed, mm-hmm. Like Manchurian candidates.
Yeah.
You know, and when I put this on my social media, it's time to go.
Yeah, they'll see that and it'll trigger them.
Right.
That's what
right.
conspiracy theory was. If he saw Catcher in the Rye book or something, one book, it was that time frame, he would go do whatever they had programmed him to do. And that if for that man to plead ignorant and he didn't know is the top of lunacy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He fully well knew, mm-hmm. You know. So anyways, people, there's some serious people in like law and all, and they're saying that what he did, see, a lot of it is his position,
mm-hmm.
as the former head of the FBI. He knows what that means.
Yeah.
So to do that and post it on his blog is really serious, really serious. Like I said, it's a Manchurian candidate type thing. Now, this is
If it had been a Republican doing that to a Democrat president, they would have been locked up and the key thrown away.
That's the way it works. Not for too much longer, though.
I pray.
In another, it says he went there. Trump posts video compilation of mysterious deaths and suicide linked to Hillary Clinton. So my take on it is, this is just a few who died of Arkansas. This list is much longer, and Arkansas is always fatal. I am very grateful the president spoke this truth. Now, I don't think it's long. Let me see if we can get it. Watch it. All right. Let me get it over. It's really quick, but if you've ever studied it or heard about it, I mean, there is like seriously dozens and dozens and dozens of people around Clinton's that died. Some of them were like his police escort when he was a governor of Arkansas. He knew, you know, the police knew a lot about him there. And they died of suicide. They died of shot with no motive or shot and killed. I mean, people in law firms that worked with the Clintons, they committed suicide, car accidents. I mean, it's incredible.
That's terrible.
So let's see if we can get this going now. Yeah, it may work. Here we go. Looks like it's going to be small.
Remember John F. Kennedy Jr.? He was declared the front runner for the New York Senate seat back in 1999. Days later, his plane crashed into the Atlantic Ocean, and his rival, Hillary Clinton, was elected senator. Mary Mahoney was a Clinton White House intern. She knew enough of the inner workings of Bill's sexual advancements to be a star witness during the Clinton impeachment trials. She was brutally executed at a Starbucks she was managing in 1997. In 1993, White House counsel Vince Foster was found dead in Fort Marcy Park near D.C. He supposedly killed himself, and among a lengthy list of potential foul play, the bullet was never found. Then there's James McDougal, a key witness for White House prosecutors. He was serving his three-year sentence for bank fraud at the Fort Worth Federal Medical Center in Texas. And just before he was to give a testimony before the grand jury, McDougal suffered a heart attack in solitary confinement. In 2015, Walter Scheib, a White House chef hired under Bill Clinton, joined the list. His body was found at the bottom of a river, nearly 2 miles from the base of the trail he was reportedly hiking. An autopsy determined that Scheib's death was accidental drowning, but he might have known too much. 27-year-old Democratic National Committee staffer Seth Rich was shot and killed in D.C. this year. There is speculation that he was the source of the controversial leaked emails allegedly sent by DNC staffers, and that he may have been murdered in retaliation. Then Sean Lucas, the lead attorney in a fraud case against the DNC, was found lying on the bathroom floor by his girlfriend when she returned home on August 2nd. His death was reported classified, pending the results of an autopsy.
Yeah. Excuse me. So, well, any comments about, and there were many more besides.
Oh, yes. So many more.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. There are a whole load of them.
I think four college students on the railroad track because they saw shipments coming in for drugs that were coming in, no flight plan from Mexico. And just hundreds. You know, well, I wouldn't say hundreds.
That connection there is that was coming from the, what was it, the media cartel in Colombia, cocaine?
Yeah.
And that was being run by Bill Clinton.
Exactly.
And so they were not tied down, knocked out, whatever it was, laying across the railroad tracks. The train came, ran over them and killed them. And that one, Jocelyn Elders, she was the medical examiner, and she said it was suicide.
Yeah.
Then he made her Surgeon General.
Yes, he did.
Yes, and she did. Remember that, Tim? She got in all that trouble about teaching about, well, sex ed and classes, and so she had to resign, but he did make her attorney, Surgeon General.
Yes, he did. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can't think of the others right now, but there is somewhere a huge number. Huge number. So they developed this term, Arkanside.
Yep.
That's amazing. Amazing how many of them died. People died near the Clintons.
And there, it reminds me, Chaplain, of all the people that died mysteriously surrounding the JFK assassination.
Oh, that's another thing.
Same type of deal. But
I'm waiting for the rest of all this to come out. There's lots of JFK, more information, and you know, where, and the Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, you know, none of that stuff is make a little bit here and there, but there's a whole load of stuff to come out.
Maybe they can put that Oklahoma class on those things next.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, sure. All you got to do is follow all that conspiracy stuff about Robert Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, John Kennedy, excuse me. If anybody ever sees it, you know, with all the things that went wrong, they'll know. No, wait, that this is, I'm seeing what happened.
Yeah. That is Ahab and Jezebel for sure. It's just wicked beyond.
Yeah.
God. And they got away with so much, but it's coming to the light. I mean, they're not going to die before they have to explain and be brought to justice, I pray.
Sister Kathy, that same deep state is in control now. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's just one continuous, like Eisenhower called it, the military-industrial complex and the CIA. It's just one continuous. It may not be the same people alive today, but it's the same group.
Same blueprint.
Yeah, yeah. Well, see, he's shrinking it right now. The way that they had power was with the bureaucracy. So they had all of these, like labor laws, all these environmental laws, and all of that. And they would just make it up. They Congress didn't have any control over it. And they were choking so many areas, licenses for this, that, and the other thing. They were just choking it. So he's beating it back. He's pruning it back. And all those people he had fired, that's directly at the deep state, because they use these institutions to advance their agenda. And he's cut away all of that hidden money there. My, oh my, billions and billions there for the most bizarre things, teaching something in Ecuador, transgenderism in Ecuador. It's like amazing, amazing. But that's all, he's pruning it back. But, you know, it takes a couple presidencies to clean it up. So in the long run, the military is desperate. That's the one you got to get first. All right. Let me get back here because we have some good stuff. South Carolina Supreme Court unanimously upholds heartbeat law. So if you can hear the baby's heart, you can't abort it. So that's 90 something percent of all the abortions that we can't do. Now this is really interesting. President Trump just cut an additional $400 million from Harvard. Wow. My comment on it, this is exciting news. The next step is for Harvard to lose its tax exemption. Harvard University announced Wednesday it will begin allocating its own funds to support research efforts after the Trump administration cut more than $2 billion from the school over its alleged allowance of anti-Semitism on campus and use of race-based practice. So you're only going to get hardcore leftists and Muslims at Harvard now. So you can write death to Harvard across the door, or Harvard is dying, or something. You know, you don't want to do something that sounds like, in other words, you can write it's all over for Harvard. If this continues, those people will eat themselves. They'll get all those students in there that will, they are as evil as the administration, and they'll start fighting, and they'll want to do this, and they'll want to do that. They have a natural tendency to like attack the school because they're against authority. They want to rule. They want to rule instead of the dean of the school. It'll be absolute chaos, folks. Absolute chaos. Soon. Harvard is, and they brought that curse on them because of what they do with Israel. It's a big curse on them.
Well, good riddance to them.
Oh, absolutely. That whole thing, the whole Ivy League, good riddance to it. Ah, something also very, very interesting. If anybody feels like commenting, please, I'm open here to comment. Let me check. Well, let me open up Sister Sharon and Joy.
Yes, I've been enjoying listening to all of the stuff that you're going over and everything. It's just, I don't want to say it's overwhelming or anything like that. It's interesting, and it's stuff that we have to keep our eyes open and our ears to the ground.
Amen. Amen. Now, this one is really interesting. They all are. I'm saying that with every one of them. Scientists detect life's faint glow that vanishes at the moment of death. All right, from the article, Canadian researchers from the University of Calgary and the National Research Council of Canada performed revolutionary experiments on mice and plant species that revealed direct physical confirmation of a strange, they call it biophyton phenomena that terminates when life ends, as reported in the Journal of Physical Chemistry. The remarkable discovery challenges our understanding of the biological process and opens new possibilities for non-invasive diagnostic technologies. So what happens is they have absolute darkness when they do these tests. It's absolute darkness. And they can have special super cameras that takes pictures. And with those pictures, they can see a very faint light. The light gives off a very faint glow. So then when the mice died, the glow stopped. So, we have a signature. We have a light, they call it, let me pronounce it, biophoton. So yeah, our bodies give off a slight glow. Not, you can't see it with the human eye, but with high tech you can. That's like spiritual, folks, giving off light like that. There's something spiritual to that. What do you think, Sister Kat?
Absolutely. No question about it. We've known that all along. It's called the spirit.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Now they can see it.
Mm-hmm. That is amazing.
The first ever the U.S. Justice Department files terrorist charges against Sinaloa cartel members. These are the Mexican drug cartels. And they arrested some woman who was apparently going, she was buying hand grenades, I guess underground, their hand grenade, black market. And they arrested her as a narco terrorism. She was with this cartel. So it's starting to kick in, folks. Hopefully, you know, the cartels will leave and they can't work here because it's too easy to get arrested now. What a change. What a shock for this system from Biden to Trump. Now, I think everybody is going to like this. It says, activist judge indicted by federal grand jury for blocking ICE agents. Now, this is like beyond bizarre. This is a judge that's supposed to, you know, be a part of the law system enforcing the law. And these illegal aliens, the one there that she's involved with, these are not like, he's not like a married man with four kids. And I don't know. And he got drunk driving or something. I mean, this guy here's a bad guy. And the DA was sitting there waiting to present the case before the judge. He beat up his wife and someone else. So the agents came. She told them to get out of the courtroom, and they had to wait in the hall and to talk to the chief judge. So the agents did. And she took this illegal alien.
Defendant.
Yeah, and they have a secret or a back entrance to the courtroom. And she took him and his attorney out. She dropped the charges against them to get him out. So now she has been indicted. Wow. I mean, this is
praise
something.
God.
Yeah.
Right.
This is really something. I mean, she.
Well, she's one of those crazy woke types.
Oh, yes. Yes. She is beyond woke. Whatever is beyond woke, that's her. But they notice how they gravitate to protect these criminals.
Right.
They're still upset about that criminal in the jail in El Salvador. All right. From the article, the indictment came after a day-long hearing on charges that she tried to assist an illegal alien escape arrest from a courtroom last month. Dugan, 66, was previously charged with obstructing a U.S. agency and concealing an individual to prevent an arrest. The two charges carry a maximum penalty of 6 years in prison and a $350,000 fine. However, sentences in cases involving nonviolent offenders are typically much shorter. Dugan is expected to enter a plea at May 15th. Now, she pled not guilty. Now, he was a felon, or so her charge is not going to be a misdemeanor.
And I guarantee you, she would have been a women's libber, and or whatever that last call would have been for women. And the woman he beat up is sitting in the courtroom.
Right, right.
As you know, this is not his first case, and I think. So she just had that one out the window. That didn't concern her at all, that a lady had been beaten up by this guy. And I think somebody else, her brother or something else,
yes.
you know, it was bad.
Yeah, yeah. Now, in Newark, the mayor was arrested for interfering with ICE there. And there were two congresswomen and a man, or three congresswomen. Anyways, apparently, the what's breaking on the news lines there are one or all of those congresswomen are going to be indicted. So if that's the case, and if they're convicted, they'll be removed from Congress.
Oh, wouldn't that be great?
Oh,
and that would help the count.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they think that they're above the law, and this is like shocking to their system.
Yep.
Well,
and here's the thing: they said they would have let them in. They had the credentials to get in the front door if they had wanted to investigate.
Oh my. All right. Let's go to the next section of blog here. Cutting edge health information. And I also have the 666 surveillance system and the New World Order. Now, I very seldom, if ever, talk about it, but I am posting. So let me go to the 666 one first. Where chip implants are heading should terrify us all. So they're talking about the next round of these powerful phones there that go to, what is it, G6? And that'll be at 2030. And they're talking about they'll be implanted into, well, I guess, everyone. And then they want everyone brought into these electric cities so that you'll be completely, the people have the potential of being completely controlled. It'll be wired that you'll be able to, by just brainwaves. You're all hooked together, and this thing is controlling everything. So the plans are, they're out now, and they're just waiting for some technology. So that is controlling the people, folks. That's the 666 surveillance system.
2030?
Yep, 5 years.
Oh, my gosh.
It's
AI
and this high tech is coming at lightning speed.
That was why Biden wanted 5G in every country area in the United States,
exactly.
Not just, you know.
Exactly.
Mm.
Here's another article. Most people have no idea what is coming. And there's a video. I don't know how long it is. AI is not just improving efficiency. It's changing everything from economics to war. From governance to medicine, Dalio warns, that's the guy in the article here writing about, and we're entering in an era of extreme complexity where AI can outthink humans across every domain. But with no game plan in place, who's really in control? As global competition heats up, the nations prioritize their own survival. Is the world on the brink of chaos, a new world order? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no doubt about it. I have a whole bunch of articles like that on the blog.
Did you see the person that asked AI of all the Christianity, of all the religious people, which one would AI choose for the best? And it was like she repeated everything he said in the question and said it would certainly be Christianity because it is the only religion that this and this and this and this. And it was just like unbelievable. And I want to think maybe that because you had your little AI thing that did the talk about, yes, that is very true or whatever about salvation and so forth.
Yeah. I call them data.
Yeah, that's right.
And I said, data, how can someone obtain eternal life through the Bible? And boy, it seems like a he, but I call it. Knocked it perfect. You could have preached it just again.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's perfect. Amazing.
Yeah. So I have a whole bunch of them here. I'll just read the title off to you. AI brain decoder can read a person's thoughts with just a quick brain scan and almost no training. AI singularity explained, what it means and why Musk is concerned. Digital ID, robots, AI, and basic universal income. That's what we're heading in the future, and that's honor. Most people have no idea what is coming. Spain is eliminating cash. They're pushing everybody into transitioning into the digital age. So that's part of the 666 surveillance system. Then the other part says, let me go to part two of the blog. I'm just in part one. Nokia CEO says G6 will render smartphones obsolete by 2030 and will be integrated into your body instead. You like that, Sister Kathy?
That makes me sick.
Yeah.
I mean, I just, I can't stand the thought of that.
It's disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, the modern generation, they'll think it, you know, it's easy now. You don't have to carry a phone around or anything. It's just in you.
Oh, there'd be 100 reasons to say, oh, yeah, that's the greatest thing since toast.
Yep.
It says
people don't believe in God. They want to believe in AI.
This scientist explained what the future of smartphones will be. It will definitely happen. I was talking about G6 earlier, which is around 2030. I would say that by then, definitely the smartphone as we know it today will not anymore be the usual kind of that most commune interface. Many of these things will be built directly into our bodies. There you go.
No matter how old you are, I mean, what is their thought process of putting it in us? In our head area or heart area or leg or what?
Didn't go into it, Sister Kathy. Didn't go into it, but that's their plan. So, you know, they don't really have to force anyone because so many will go into it. And if you don't go along with it, you're frozen out. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, we don't use smartphones anymore, so we're sorry. You know, your bank, you can't withdraw from your bank and, you know, all sorts of stuff. Guest blows Joe Rogan away with a terrifying transhumanism warning. Her name is Lamb. Lamb alleges that BGI, which I don't know what that means, has publicly stated its mission is to sequence as much of the global population as possible in search of genes tied to intelligence and act on the findings. They are openly saying we are sequencing as much as we can of the world population, looking for genes for intelligence. How's that?
Well, they won't be looking. I won't be involved in that equation.
Yeah, amen.
Leaked documents reveal WEF, World Economic Forum, digital IG agenda to lock world into digital prison. Yeah. That's no doubt about that, yes.
But, Chaplain, that's good. Only, I mean, won't there have to be some sort of electrical system for, I mean, if there's a generated computer program, there would have to be some electrical source. So if the power goes off, would you be debilitated if it's, you know, implanted in you, or probably, does it run on a battery or what?
Probably, yeah. that might well run on a battery, and you got to get like a pacemaker in a heart every so many. Yeah. So that, but it may have, maybe programmed that if, the internet goes down, you go down.
that would have to be the case.
Yes. Yes.
Because my cell phone, if I don't charge it up, it's not working.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so that is, as long as the power source is okay, there's no problem. But I wonder if they have an auxiliary thought about that, because they were actually, whenever it was like when singularity occurred or is to occur, it's like, well, so it won't have a soul.
Right.
But then when they were doing that chimera thing, it's like, if you implant human and you do a pig, there's going to be a spirit in that human part. How is that going to, and it's like, we never thought about that. We didn't consider that. So yes. I know they haven't considered so many of these things.
They don't care.
No, they don't.
They don't care. You know, they'll be like the days of Noah, and you'll have part human and part fallen angel. So what is it? You know, it's not created in God's image and likeness, so it's not human.
John?
Yes.
I just wanted to add something about the electrical power. Your body has an electrical system.
Yes,
and my guess would be, is right, Sharon?
Yes, hello?
Did she say something?
No.
Sharon? Okay. Well, I think she knows. But anyway, the body does have an electrical system. And I think maybe they could, you know, with AI, probably develop something where it would run off your own system. I don't know.
Oh, like a spare battery. Like a spare battery.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So I don't know, because I haven't read a lot about that. But the thing is, what is concerning me is that the AI systems that they're going to put in all over the place, all across the world, it takes a tremendous amount of electric power. And I know they're building a big AI plant. I don't know if it's an AI center or it's going to produce plants, but that's up kind of northwest of Phoenix. And yeah, so there's a lot of this very strange stuff going on. But I just wanted to say that I think, honestly, at some point, they're going to, how do I say this? They're going to have help from the demonic world. I think they already do. But I think they're going to have some pretty massive help. Instead of it being Nephilim, it's going to be something related to that, where they're getting this information from beyond themselves, is my guess. I don't know. But I don't know. Because it says that it's like in the days of Noah, and that is, you know, that was part of the issue. And I wanted to bring up one more thing. Randy and I watched, we follow this one fellow who has really interesting news reports. And this was back in 2012, there were somebody in Congress or the Senate was very, very concerned about the chips that were in all kinds of things, cell phones, solar panels, and all kinds of things where the Chinese have embedded those. And now that subject has come up again, where it's hackable. So they were talking about how in certain cases, if they didn't have another system set up, it's not something that's, they can just go in and they have to look for it. They have to have special technology to look for it, but it's become part of our grid. Have you seen that?
No. No.
Yeah. Well, apparently, because this guy was citing these different articles, and there are people, a couple of people, I think, in Congress that are very, very concerned about this because it's a national security issue, and also that it could, you know, bring down the states. And also, what was weird is that some of our military aircraft and equipment, the parts were manufactured in China, and now they're thinking that since they've found them in a variety of places, it could be in our military aircraft and ships and things like that because of the parts coming in from China, which is, I don't doubt it because, like I said, I remember these news reports and the guy cited them where there was somebody in Congress or the Senate that brought this up in 2012 and nothing was done about it at all.
They were all probably taking bribes from China.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Yeah.
All right. It's time. 3 hours.
Hey, Jeff,
yes, sir.
One other quick thing. There are experts that have warned Congress and other people about AI, strong AI. And my worry is what countries with no morality left, like China, will do with AI.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Right. Yeah. And, you know, they're going to try and destroy man being created in God's image. So, you know, making us cyborgs, maybe that will be destroying us in God's image. Taking, part from a pig and putting in us. I mean, what are we then? You know, you're a hybrid. I mean, you got God's, we're created in God's image and likeness. When you destroy that image and likeness, we're no longer men, you know, mankind.
He won't let that happen.
Right. That's how he ended it at the days of Noah. They were into that, and the Lord sent the flood. So, yeah, we're real close. When you look out there and see tampering with us being, violating us being God's image and likeness, the people that are like that are unredeemable. They're not human. Real serious.
Yes, sir. Well, it's been a great show, Joe. Thank you.
Oh, okay. All right. Let's close. And God bless everybody. And I'm going to close with the prayer covenant. Cry unto the Lord, prayer covenant. Abba, Father, we come before you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, understanding the hour in which we live. We see the day of the Lord approaching, and we are crying out to you according to your word. We cry out in repentance for our sins and the sins of our nation. We cry out for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We realize that the time is short before the Lord Jesus comes for his bride. But according to your word, the outpouring of the Spirit will continue until he comes. We are humble before you with the manifest sins of our nation, recognizing how this offends your holiness. By faith, we ask for one more outpouring of the Holy Spirit, both to win untold numbers of souls to the Lord Jesus and to hold back the terrible spirit of Antichrist. With this mighty outpouring, we ask for the healing of the brokenhearted, the opening of prison to them that are bound, and the setting at liberty to them that are bruised. A little trouble here. Abba, free us completely from the spirit of bondage and fear, and fill us with power, love, and a sound mind. Free us completely of unbelief, and have us grow mighty in faith to please you. In the past, you sent many great outpourings of the Holy Spirit, and we are asking our Abba for one more before the groom comes for his bride. The church was birthed with the power of the Holy Spirit, and we want to go with you in that same power. The great outpouring first came to Jerusalem. We beseech you for another great outpouring of your spirit upon your people Israel, like you first sent 2,000 years ago. Abba Father, we love you as little children and believe the word with the same faith as children. We know when we ask our Abba that he hears us. Father, as the end grows near, it is like the days of Noah. You protect us from the wicked one and from the love of the world. We come under the power and authority of your word and your name. We are growing close to you for protection and asking that you heal all the broken hearts of your people, along with freeing us from bondage so that the bride is ready for the groom. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. God bless everybody, and see you tomorrow, if available, prayer in the morning. Pastor Fred has been teaching with us now on Monday nights, and more prayer after he finishes. So God bless everybody, and good night. We covered a lot of ground, got a lot of good information out, and I like it when you talk and we discuss things. So God bless you now.
I am thinking of the rapture in that blessed home on high, when the redeemed are gathering there. How we'll sing that heavenly anthem in that city in the sky, when the redeemed are gathering there. Now when the redeemed are gathering there, watch like snow and free from sin. Redemption story with our voices loud and long, when the redeemed are gathering in. Then the angels have to listen, for they cannot sing this song, when the redeemed